for our little meditation and study tonight, I thought we would look into four ways that Christ suffered. To get us started, let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew, the 26th chapter and the 36th verse, and we'll read a little bit. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed and said, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but that thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples, and finding them sleeping, and saith to Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them sleeping again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away and prayed the third time and saying the same words. Now the first way that the Lord suffered is mentally. It says in another scripture that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood coming down to the earth. And you know, the Lord Jesus was fully man, and yet he was fully God. And he knew all things, what was going to happen to him, every little detail. And in his mind, he suffered in the garden. You know, when he came and he wanted to go through Samaria, he knew that the Samaritan woman was going to be there at the well. That's why he went there. He was an all-knowing God. And also, when he called Nathanael, he said, I saw you when you were under the tree. And Nathanael said, Surely this must be the Messiah. Yes. The Lord Jesus was all-knowing, and he suffered mentally. He prayed 3 times in the garden about his suffering, that if it was possible, that there was any other way that we could get around it. He asked God the Father to do it. But there was no other way in which he could pay the price for sin. Yes, he was all-knowing. And you know, brothers and sisters, I don't want to know what's going to happen tomorrow. I couldn't be able to take care of it. And God has graciously kept that from us. But the Lord Jesus knew just what was going to happen to him. And he was suffering mentally. And he knew that as he would die upon the cross, that and provide a way of salvation for whosoever will, that there would be some that would accept him, but yet there would be others that would reject him and that would spurn him and don't want to have anything to do with him. And he saw of how much he suffered for them, but yet and all, they would take it lightly and not accept him as Savior and his work upon the cross. And you know, in the garden here, I'm sure he was thinking too of his disciples, and you know, many a time he told them of how he was going to come and he was going to have to die and be risen again. And you know, the disciples didn't believe him. Oh, they listened to him. You know, a lot of times I listen to somebody, but I don't believe them necessarily. And the disciples, they were the same way as you and I. And the Lord spent 3 years, 3.5 years, going around with his disciples and telling them that he's going to have to die. He's going to have to go to Jerusalem and be put to death by sinful hands. Yes, his mental suffering was very extreme. It says, and he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood for you and for me. And you know, not only that, but he knew that when he was there on the stand, that Peter was going to be warming himself around the fire and deny him. Not once, but 3 times. You know. And oh, how he suffered mentally in that garden before he was going to pay the price of redemption. So the first way he suffered for us was mentally. And then, you know, he came and he stood before the crowd. And he had just spent 3.5 years doing good, going up through Sea of Galilee and around down through Jerusalem and doing nothing but good. He healed the blind man, and he brought back people to life. Jairus' daughter and Lazarus, and that's what our Lord did for 3.5 years. And let's read a portion in Luke for our next way that the Lord suffered. In the 23rd chapter, let's and the 14th verse we'll start at. Said unto them, ye have brought this man to me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I have examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things which whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. Yes, the next way that the Lord suffered was socially. And keeping that in mind, we'll continue to read. And I will therefore chastise him and release him. Pilate was willing to release him, to let him go. For necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas. He was socially unacceptable. He had campaigned for 3.5 years of doing good, but yet they all said, "Away with this man, who for certain seditions made the city and for murder had cast into prison." Oh, wait a minute, I skipped the verse, sorry. And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain seditions made in the city and for murder was cast into prison." Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he said unto them the third time, "Why? What evil hath he done? I find no fault. I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." And they were insistent with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified, and the voices of them, of the high priest, prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that he should be as they required, and he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. Yes, he suffered socially. All 3 years of doing good and helping people, and yet with one voice they cried, "Away with him." And the high priest, and you know, he cast out demons. He fed 5,000 at once, besides women and children. Yet it wasn't enough to make him acceptable socially. And he suffered socially. Not only that, when he was in the garden and Judas kissed him and betrayed him, one of the disciples took his sword and trimmed off the ear of the high priest. And you know, even then, he put the ear back on for the high priest. But yet, the high priest prevailed with the crowd that they might ask for his death. So he suffered for you and I, for our redemption mentally, and he suffered socially. And then he suffered physically. And let's read John 19:1. And this is what it says. "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe." And then we can read in Matthew 27. Matthew 27 and the 27th verse says this: "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him, and they put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon him and took a reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put on his own raiment and led him away to be crucified. Yes, he suffered physically. They scourged him. They whipped him. And it is said that his back was as a plowed field for our redemption, for my redemption. And you know, I worked with lumber and I would get a lot of slivers, you know, but they didn't really start to hurt bad till a day afterwards if you didn't take them out. But you know, I go and I do a little work around the garden for Marge, and I get a rose thorn in my finger, and it hurts immediately. It don't take a long time. And you know, they planted a crown of thorns on the Lord for you and for me. And I wonder how much that hurt immediately before he got to the cross. Yes, a crown of thorns, and they smote him. And in Isaiah, we read this. Isaiah 53:10 goes like this. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Yes, the Lord was pleased that he had a son that was willing to die for you and me. He was willing to suffer mentally, socially, and physically. And he was an offering for sin. The Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross that you and I might have redemption. And he made himself an offering that we might stand before a holy and a righteous God in his fullness, in his provision for us. He was an offering for our sin. Yes, he suffered physically, and as they took him up the hill to Calvary, they had to compel Simon to bear his cross. From all he had gone through before, happened to get somebody, but he was weak and he suffered for us. And yet there he got to the cross, and they drove nails in his hands and his feet, and they plunked it into the ground for you and for me. Yes, he suffered physically that we might have salvation, that we might be redeemed, we might be brought back into the family of God. And then the next one we find in Luke 24, and (clears throat) We know this story. It's the disciples on the Emmaus Road. And it would be good to read it, but I don't think that we have maybe time. But I'm going to read Luke 24:12. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. He wondered in himself of what was come to pass. Now, the Lord Jesus spent 3.5 years with his disciples and telling of how he was going to die and how he had to go to the cross and suffer to make salvation possible. And here Peter is, third day, and he sees the empty tomb and he wonders in himself. And then we read in the 13th verse, and behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus. And you know, they were sad and disheartened because of what had happened in Jerusalem. And this stranger comes up to them and asks them, why are you sad? And they asked him, are you just a stranger here in town? You know, they didn't know they were speaking to the Lord of glory. They didn't know they were speaking to Jesus, the one they had walked with for 3.5 years. Why? Because they didn't believe what he said. And I wonder tonight how much we believe what God says in his word and act upon it. They heard it. They heard that he was going to rise again the third day, but they didn't believe. And you know, the fourth way that the Lord suffered was emotionally. Just think. The God of the universe coming to walk with a couple guys that are sad because they don't know what's going on. Because they didn't believe God's word. They didn't believe his voice. And you know, that's the way you and I, too, can go through life, sad. Because we don't believe, we don't trust in what God says. He says, the same way that you accepted me as Savior by faith, so walk ye. And you know, we need to have faith and do what God says. Yes? And you know, he gets up to them and they tell him this and you know he says in Luke 24:26, it says, let's go back to 25. Then he said unto them, O fools, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. O fools. He called them fools, you know. The Lord had emotions, you know. Here was two of his own disciples, and they didn't even believe in what he said, that he was going to rise again the third day. And they weren't looking for it. And you know, you and I sometimes make the Lord suffer emotionally because we don't obey his word. And we don't do the things. And then we know that beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he had to go right back to the beginning. You know, these were Jewish men, and they knew the law and the prophets, and he had to take them right back to the beginning. And it says he expounded unto them the scriptures, and we won't read the verses because time is really... And so he was walking along, and these men wandered, you know, and they got to be night, and you know, the Lord Jesus made, as it were, that he would go on farther. But you know, they constrained him to come in and to eat and abide with them. And we know the story that their eyes were open. And that's in verse 30. And how was their eyes open? And their eyes were open, and they knew him. Well, wait a minute, I'm ahead of myself. In verse 30, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave thanks to them. Yes, nobody else in society gave broken cookies to their friends. Only the Lord took the bread and broke it. And the biscuits they had were just small in them days. It wasn't a big Italian loaf, you know. The little boy that had the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, the mother made him a little lunch. I don't think that she gave him 5 Italian loaves, you know. You know, no, they were little biscuits like that. Bite size. And 2 small fishes. But you know, the Lord broke them and delivered them to 5,000 plus women. And you know, as we read his word and whatnot, and his word is broken before us, he can break it to us, and he can feed our souls right to the fullest. But if we don't obey it, it won't do us any good. Yes, their eyes were open, and they knew it was the Lord, and he vanished out of their sight. And you know something? It says in verse 33. It's a wonderful passage. You need to go home and read it and muse on it. It's just a wonderful passage here. And in 33 it says, and they arose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Now, when the Lord was made known unto them, he empowered them. They didn't care whether it was dark or dangerous, or they had just walked 7 miles, I guess, about. They got up and they turned around and went right back, you know. And that's the same thing with you and I. When we obey God's word, he will empower us to witness for him, to do whatever we have to do, whatever he wants us to do for him. Yes, the Lord suffered emotionally, and he's an emotional God. And it tells us that he will not always keep his anger from us, and different other scriptures. And, you know, the Lord suffered mentally, physically, socially, and emotionally, that you and I might someday be with him. And you know, in Hebrews 12:2, it tells us that for the joy that was set before him, he's going to be happy. He endured the cross. The joy that was set before him. And that's when you and I will meet him someday in glory. And he's an emotional God as well. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross for you. And for me, yes, someday we'll see him face to face. And may God help us to not make him suffer emotionally because of our disobedience, our stubbornness, our waywardness, and someday the joy that was set before him, he'll see us face to face. Yes, may the Lord help us to live a life that would be pleasing in his sight. It tells us in John 1 John 3 and 22, it says, doing those things, following the commandments, plus, and I like this verse, 1 John 3 and 22, it says, because ye keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ not only wants us to keep his commandments, but he wants us to do what's pleasing in his sight. So, four ways that he suffered that we might have eternal life. Shall we pray?